What is up? Welcome to another edition of the all-new NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. The Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield, apparently caught some foul prey or something.
Yeah, he did.
It is wreaking havoc on his insides, so we wish him well with that. Yeah, good luck, man. Hopefully he'll be back with
feel it. Feel better. I think this is like the second time
that
he's gotten stricken by the old stomach bug.
Yeah, he's in food poisoning protocol.
Yeah, he is.
So hopefully he'll be back with us real soon. Yeah, man, get some rest. Get better, dude. Stay hydrated. That's my whole advice to you. So it is week five. I go first, though. Look, I mean, I know this is a fantasy football podcast, but man, there was one hell of a baseball game on last night.
I heard about it, but I did not watch it. I know that the Nationals won, and so they'll be coming to Los Angeles to play your beloved Dodgers in the ALDS. And my pal Patrick Corbin, who is a big fantasy football guy, is going to be starting for the Nationals, I believe, game one.
He will be starting. Yeah, it was a great game. The Brewers lose a heartbreaker there. Poor Trent Grisham, who he's going to be the GOAT for his error that allowed the Nats to score the winning run. Although, you know, you could easily say that the reliever, Josh Hader, was as much to blame because he couldn't get out and forced them into a bad situation. But it was fun. It was a good start to the baseball playoffs. I know tonight we've got the Rays and the A's. The winner of that game goes on to have the honor of getting smushed probably by the Houston Astros. So good luck with that.
What?
Yeah. I actually last night went in a text chain with some of my friends.
Did you forget about that team in the Bronx?
Well, I know, but like they play the Twins, right? And so like the winner of Rays and A's, like they go see the Astros before they get to whoever wins the Twins Yankee series.
I got a Yankee shirt on. You've got the hat on. I am a little nervous about the Astros. I mean, I know we got to get through the Twins, who, by the way, Kyle Gibson, another big fantasy football fan, and a buddy of mine who I can't wish any luck to.
It's funny, so I'm in a text chain with a bunch of friends, you know, all growing up in the Bay Area and all having followed the A's for so many years. You know, we were sort of texting after the game last night, and I actually went on the MLB website to check the World Series schedule because I was hoping that maybe, just maybe, if the A's could put together a run that they would play long enough for the Raiders to have one more home game on the dirt. Unfortunately, the World Series ends a couple of days before, even Game 7 would be over a couple of days before the Raiders would get back to Oakland for their next home game. So it is not possible. I was hoping just maybe one last time. But that's not going to happen. I got plenty to talk about. We will preview week five. We'll talk to Jeff Ratcliffe from Pro Football Focus, as we do on occasion here on Wednesday. So plenty to talk about. Before we do that, we'll go behind the glass and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
Yeah, guys, I watched the beginning of that game last night, and I came home, and I put it on the TV, but I had to leave before the ending because I got a tip that apparently Eddie Murphy was supposed to be at the Comedy Store.
Oh.
So it was a surprise headliner show, and I bought tickets, and I'm like, you know what? If it is Eddie Murphy, it's okay if I miss this this postseason game, because, again, I do love postseason baseball.
Right.
And
was it Eddie Murphy?
It was not.
Oh,
it was not. So can you believe that? I went to the store about a couple of days ago, last week, and the bounce, because of my name, the bouncer, or the doorman rather, saw my ID, and he's like, oh, it's so funny. Like, he's like, I gotta do a double take here because Eddie's coming next week. And then lo and behold, they announced a secret show, and I'm like, this is gonna be awesome. $10 on a Tuesday, and I have like a million things going on. I'm flying home later today for a wedding. It's like craziness, and I'm like, but I gotta go see Eddie
because
like, this will be legendary. And it was actually Damon Wayans, and he was working out his new hour. So if I don't know, this is like a spoiler alert, but he's working out a new hour. It's gonna come out, and you know, it was fine. His stories are super interesting, but Eddie Murphy, I would say, is in a different level, probably himself.
I'm really, because, I mean, like, I've recently, because it's on Netflix now, like, Delirious, and you go watch
it. Yeah, exactly.
And he's hilarious, but some of his stuff.
It doesn't stand up.
Of his stuff would not go over well right now in the world we live in.
It does not stand up. But in the moment, at the time, it was absolutely hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So. That would have been great, though, to see have Eddie Murphy seeing Eddie Murphy.
It would have been, exactly. And I would have been much happier with missing the ending of that game.
Yeah.
But, whatever. Now, baseball season. We're in football weather in L.A. now, too. In October, we're all wearing jackets in here. So.
Sort of.
Yeah, but it's supposed to warm back up.
It's going
to
be like 80 degrees again next week. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do some news.
Through the news.
All right, we'll start in Pittsburgh. James Conner, who had his breakout game on Monday night against the Bengals, also suffered an ankle injury. He is still being evaluated by the team. We'll kind of keep tabs on that as the week progresses to see what his status is going to be. But Fabs, I mean, plain and simple, Jalen Samuels had a pretty good game as well for the Steelers, and I would think that he's going to be high on the list, or was high on the list of waiver claims that just ran, and legitimately should be on a lot of rosters and maybe in a lot of lineups this week.
Yeah, man, that's one to watch out for. I mean, I know I told people to sell high on Connor. We have to wait on that depending on what happens with this ankle injury. He was able to come back in the game last week. We'll see, but it seems like one of those scenarios where like people are almost not, you know, you don't want to root for a guy to miss time, but if you eliminated one or the other from that backfield in one way, shape, or form, I feel like the other would thrive. And so if Connor doesn't play this week against the Ravens, I feel like Jalen Samuel could end up being like a top 12 PPR back.
Yeah, no, I think he really does have that potential.
Volume.
You know, and this sort of takes us back to where we were at the start of the season, or in the early preseason, where there were all these rumors that maybe this would be a committee. It hasn't really turned out that way. Although I do sort of wonder, now with Mason Rudolph at quarterback and this passing game not being what people expected it to be, you know, whether or not we're going to see more of the Wildcat, more of the two backs on the field. So maybe we may end up sort of on accident ending up with this this rotation system.
Yeah, and if you look at the participation percentages last week, I mean, it was Connor's backfield. Yes, we saw a lot of Jalen Samuels. There's no question about that. But you know, this is a situation here where we had, I believe, Connor had played around 64% of the offensive snaps, and Jalen Samuels was in there for 46%. So Connor still had quite a lead here, 10 more snaps on him. But if Connor is a no-go this week, then Jalen Samuels is a virtual must-start.
Yeah, I would think so. In Cincinnati, John Ross has a shoulder injury. He's expected to miss multiple games.
This never happens.
Probably about a month. Yeah, it is just another in the laundry list of injuries that John Ross has suffered in his relatively short NFL career. I mean, it comes when he had a pretty good start to the season. The last couple of weeks, he has fallen off a little bit, but actually his first 2 weeks were very, very good. Ostensibly, Auden Tate is the guy who slides in there and starts to take a lot of those snaps and probably some of those targets. But, man, what we saw from that Bengals offense on Monday night, it's hard to trust anybody.
Yeah, Tate played 90% of the offensive snaps, and, I mean, deep league ad, maybe. Yeah. I mean, but the NFL is so weird from 1 week to the next. And you know, we obviously have to use the data that we have. But, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Andy Dalton went out there and threw for 302 touchdowns against the Cardinals because their defense isn't any good either.
Right.
So I would still keep Dalton sort of on the 2QB Superflex League radar. But that was an ugly game. And the thing that I have a couple of shares of Joe Mixon. You're not going to be able to trade him right now unless you're in a league with a Bengals fan who thinks that they're going to switch to a run-based offense, which is not going to happen.
Right.
But I think this is where we're at, like with Joe Mixon. If number one, the offensive line is just awful.
It's terrible.
And, you know, Zach Taylor's throwing the ball like 70% of the time. And even at the end of the game, you were hoping to maybe get some garbage time catches.
Didn't happen.
It was Gio Bernard.
Yeah.
So. Yep. It's not a good situation right now if you have Mixon. You obviously have to play him. I mean, at worst, he's a flex. You know, the matchup this week works. Hopefully, they can get him more involved in that offense because looking at what the Bengals have done so far, hasn't worked.
Well,
not worked.
And looking at their schedule, I mean, they've got the Cardinals this week, but their next four games after that, on the road at Baltimore, they got the Jaguars, they got the Rams, and they got the Ravens again. And like, I know the Rams and Ravens sort of got lit up last week, but still, those aren't matchups that you really want to mess around with.
Sounds like four good defenses to start in fantasy leagues.
So there you go. Over to Dallas, Jerry Jones says he is not ruling out Michael Gallup for week 5, which is great because I didn't know Jerry Jones had a medical degree. But then again, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that the owner and general manager of the Dallas Cowboys is the one who's deciding these sorts of things. But that's good news, right? I mean, you know, obviously the Cowboys really struggled to get their passing game going last week against the Saints. So I think adding Michael Gallup back to the mix this week is very good news. Although, But the Packers are vulnerable on the ground. Their secondary is still pretty good right now.
I tried to pick up Gallup where he was dropped, and I would do the same thing if I were you. Go and see if he's available. And, you know, if you've got a guy on your roster that is sort of just sitting there collecting dust, pick up Michael Gallup. But this is an interesting game. Like, Zeke's going to run for 150 or 200 yards in this game. If you've watched what running backs have done against this Green Bay Packers defense, like last week, Jordan Howard was reborn. Philip Lindsay went nuts on this team. You know, Dalvin Cook, I mean, he basically goes nuts against everybody. But this is Zeke has been somewhat of a disappointment so far after 4 weeks. This is a get-right game. And I also believe, and I get it, you know, the matchup is bad. The Packers have been tough against the pass. But Dak Prescott, if Zeke can establish the run, which he will, you get Dak into play action where he has the fourth highest passer rating in the league right now. And suddenly I wouldn't be so afraid of that Packers pass defense and starting Dak Prescott this week.
Yeah. It's funny too, because I think this is when we started to wonder, looking at the schedule, you know, this is when we would start to sort of get the true measure of Dak, right? Like the first few weeks on paper looked like he was going to be successful. I mean, the schedule was very kind to him. I mean, Washington had the Giants, had the Dolphins. So we sort of knew that he would get out of the gates quickly. It was, you know, these games against the Saints, games against the Packers, when we started to figure, okay, now we'll kind of figure out where Dak is. So
yeah, I mean, I said it on the show yesterday, and I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. Dak's not an elite fantasy quarterback yet. You don't go into a matchup with the Saints and do what he did.
Right.
I mean, in that Saints defense, it's not been great.
Right.
They have not been great against the pass this season, and Dak just could not get the job done.
They're night and day in that dome versus outside of that dome, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
The Bills right now preparing Matt Barkley to be their starter against the Tennessee Titans this week. Josh Allen still dealing with the concussion protocol after taking just a wicked helmet-to-helmet hit against the Patriots last week. Look, you're not starting Matt Barkley. This certainly makes it difficult to lean on John Brown and or Cole Beasley. You know, even Dawson Knox was starting to get a little bit of chatter as a tight end streamer. But does this mean bad things for Frank Gore, for Devin Singletary, who may possibly be back? I mean, can you possibly trust either of those running backs?
Look at what Gore did last week.
I mean, listen, dude,
you say it 100 times a year, you know, Frank Gore will never die. He's going to outlive us all.
Gore is an acronym that stands for Go On Running Eternally.
Yeah,
that's what it means.
It is. And so, I mean, the volume is going to be there. I don't know that Devin's going to be back this week. I feel like the Bills might hold him out one more week because they have a bye and get him really to 100%. But if Gore is the featured back, he's a flex starter, I would think, in some fantasy leagues. Now, the one big play here is that Titans defense. You go out and pick them up this week. They're right up there, you know, with the Patriots, because that defense has been otherworldly. But they're right up there, the Titans defense, as a streamer against Matt Barkley and this Buffalo Bills offense. And there's not a lot of startable assets. I mean, even on Tennessee's side of the ball, like, of course, Derrick Henry is going to be a start. Mariota's not a start for me. Corey Davis, who went off last week, you know, good luck with Tre'Davious White in that defensive backfield that shut down Tom Brady, Josh Gordon, and Julian Edelman last week. A.J. Brown is a hard fade for me. If you want to pick him up, fine, but don't play him this week. Even Delanie Walker. I mean, in this game, Delanie Walker's he's not a lock to put up great numbers either, because this Bills defense against the pass is for real.
Yeah, you know, I said last week, credit the Bills defense, because they basically had to defend two offenses. Because, you know, obviously they have to deal with the Patriots, but then their own offense kept putting them in bad situations because, you know, Josh Allen couldn't get anything done. And it, you know, may be a situation where they have to do that again this week. Who knows? Last bit of news, Jay Gruden says he has not yet made a decision on who will be the starting quarterback. We know that Dwayne Haskins did not look good when he came on the field last week. Colt McCoy is healthy and available, and, you know, there's talk that he may get the start this week against the Patriots. I mean, I guess ostensibly, it doesn't really matter who Washington puts on the field against this Patriots defense. I guess the question is, I don't know. Other than starting, I don't even know what the question is. Other than it's going to be bad, right? It's just going to be bad. I guess that's really all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Jay Gruden is trying to save his job.
Yeah.
And turnovers will be the death of an offense and the death of a coach who's on the hot seat. And so I feel like Colt McCoy maybe be the guy who's going to protect the ball most out of that trio. But regardless, I mean, and I just talked about the Patriots defense. I mean, Marcus, 37 points in week one. They had 23 last week. This week, they may go for over a 20 again. They would be a top five quarterback, yep, running back, wide receiver, and the number one tight end
in
fantasy football.
They're the 12th highest scoring player in fantasy
football. It's ridiculous. I mean, and now they got the Redskins right, with a lousy quarterback situation. So, yeah, and this is a get-right game for Tom Brady, who was awful last week. 3.7 fantasy points for Julian Edelman, for Josh Gordon. I don't know about the running game. I don't know about Sony Michel. James White was back last week. But, of course, Bellatrix is so unpredictable. Maybe it's Rex Burkhead this week. We can never predict that. But, you know, if there was one locker room that I could sort of be a fly on the wall in every single week, I think it would be like that Patriots running back meeting, because
the running back room.
Who's gonna get the touches this week, Bill? Because no one in fantasy can figure it out. But I digress. Patriots are good plays this week.
I think they play rock paper scissors before each game.
It could be
just to see.
It could be, yeah.
Gets the carry.
That might be it.
So there you go. All right, that's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
Joining us again this Wednesday, as he will do multiple times throughout the season, from Pro Football Focus, it is Jeff Ratcliffe. Jeff, good to talk to you again. How are things?
Very, very good. I love October football because we kind of figure things out a little bit. I mean, never figure it entirely out, but now we have this month's worth of data points. So it's a good time of the year, man.
Yeah, the preseason is officially over now that we're in October. So it's great. So speaking of figuring things out, you are there in Philadelphia, and I know you're not in the Eagles locker room per se, but you are at least, you know, geographically closer to the Eagles than we are. Can you shed any light on exactly what's happening with this Eagles backfield after Jordan Howard had a huge game last week?
Well, I think they just had Green Bay's number in this contest. If you watched, I mean, the Eagles' offensive line is phenomenal, but they were breaking massive holes open. And if Miles Sanders, this is a couple times we've seen this season, he's not running to the correct gap. You know, sometimes we see this with younger players that they want to bounce things or they'll miss their gaps. So I think it's still going to take some time there because he missed on his first carry what could have potentially been a massive run. And then maybe we wouldn't even be talking about Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard did what he was supposed to do. That being said, I still think you have to view both of these guys outside of the RB2s. I'd rather have Sanders for the long term because Howard's inefficiencies that we've seen over the last couple seasons. But Howard is still flex worthy at this point.
Yeah, you know, when I did some research on Doug Peterson's tendencies in the backfield, I mean, he's only had one guy average over 12 touches per game as the Eagles head coach. That was Ryan Matthews, and it was around 12.5. So I don't know that Sanders is going to break out because this is what Peterson has done. And I know we've talked about the fact that he's never had a back like Sanders. Well, Sanders was usurped by a guy who a lot of fantasy analysts have a lot of disrespect for in Jordan Howard. So I'm feeling we're probably going to be looking at a backfield committee there in Philadelphia, at least into the foreseeable future. Now, let's move on to the Buccaneers. And you remember back in week one when everyone in the industry was all over Jameis Winston? You got to start him. He's a great play. He's going to put up a big game, and he stunk. And then in the next week, he went out there, and he stunk. Last two games, though, Jeff, over 20 fantasy points. Has Byron Leftwich finally unlocked Jameis Winston to the point where I can trust him against a bad Saints pass defense?
Well, here's the thing, though. I think that people manufacture arguments because they love to hate certain players. There are players in the NFL that people love to hate for fantasy purposes. And here's my message to you. If you hate a player like Jameis Winston, don't draft him because you're just going to hate him. Jameis Winston was not bad in week two. His fantasy numbers weren't good, but that was terrible conditions in that game. I thought he was just fine. He looked a lot better than Cam Newton did in that game. Then he goes out. So people say, oh, he wasn't that good because the fantasy numbers weren't that good. He goes out in week three, puts up monster numbers. Oh, no. It was against the Giants. It was a matchup. Well, he just lit up what was supposed to be a good passing defense in Los Angeles. And here's the thing. Jameis, I don't think it's Byron Leftwich or Bruce Arians who's unlocking him. From week 11 on last year, he was the number 8 fantasy quarterback. That was one spot ahead of Lamar Jackson over that same span of time. I think it's just Jameis takes a little bit of time to settle down, but we're seeing this amazing connection with a budding superstar in Chris Godwin, who now I moved ahead in my projections ahead of Mike Evans, which is I did not think I was going to be doing it that quickly, but it's the reality now. Plus, you have all these weapons. Ronald Jones, giving you upside out of the backfield. I think Jameis is a quarterback one going forward. If you love to hate him, that's fine, but he's going to put up numbers.
You know, I think you also mentioned too Ronald Jones too, because he was a guy that I think people were sort of hoping that year two was going to. I mean, look, year one was as bad as it could get, so year two almost had to be better. But I know even then people had their expectations tempered. And so maybe having Jameis step up and having Chris Godwin become a playmaker really helps to open some things up for Ronald Jones, too. So that would be interesting. Speaking of opening things up, the Browns offense, at least for 1 week, sort of looked the way we had all hoped it would. Does this restore your faith in this group moving forward now?
I sort of had faith all along, but I think Baker Mayfield is a cautionary tale for fantasy purposes. Every year, the analyst community says, wait at quarterback if you're in one quarterback leagues. Like, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you're probably pretty well informed. We're not saying this to blow smoke up your rear ends. We're saying it because, I mean, look at some of the top producing quarterbacks right now. Jacoby Brissett wasn't even drafted in most leagues, and he's out there with double-digit touchdown passes. Wait at quarterback. I understand the sexy names. People want a guy like Baker Mayfield because it was the sexy name. But you're probably pretty darn disappointed. In fact, a lot of folks I've seen actually drop Baker Mayfield after probably drafting him, what, in the fifth round, sixth round, wherever they drafted him. I never really was down on them, though. And in fact, you know, Marcus, I think this is a great opportunity. If you can get a trade done for Odell Beckham Jr., this past week was a tough one. The Ravens prioritized him, as we would expect them to do, but he was shadowed by Marlon Humphrey in this contest. And Marlon Humphrey, this is 2 weeks in a row we've seen him used as a shadow because he shadowed Sammy in week three. And he did a good job, 2 catches on 6 targets for 20 yards. So basically all of his production came against Humphrey. I think bigger days are ahead for Baker Mayfield, for Odell Beckham Jr. Obviously, Nick Chubb's a rock star, but I would buy low on these guys.
Yeah, I actually talked about that on NFL Fantasy Live, where I've seen Baker Mayfield dropped, and I would drop him if there's a hot waiver wire ad and you already have another good quarterback, because so many people have two good quarterbacks on their roster because the position it's still relatively deep, even with all the injuries. A quarterback who has not produced this season is Kirk Cousins. Now, a couple of weeks ago, played the Raiders, and everyone said, yeah, you know what? This could be the game where Kirk Cousins is going to have some fantasy success. And his numbers were bad. Now, he's got the Giants this week. The Giants defense, you well know, Jeff, not very good against the pass this season. But does that mean we can trust Kirk Cousins?
The Giants defense that features the reigning defensive player of the week, Janoris Jenkins.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I get it. But I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch, NFL. Either way, Jenkins hasn't been that great this season. Obviously, DeAndre Baker's playing over his head. Grant Haley's playing over his head in this secondary. These three have given up a combined 45 catches at a clip of 17.2 yards per catch and 5 touchdowns in their coverage. If it doesn't happen this week for Thielen, for Diggs was all right last week, but for yep, those two and for Cousins, I don't know if it's going to happen. Now, the good news is Cousins did come out yesterday. He said, listen, I watched it back. I missed Thielen on, you know, too many occasions. So at least he's recognizing the problem. That's not correcting the problem, but at least it is recognizing it. So I do think that they take a step forward. They get the cheat code this week. So I think they take a step forward and finally give us the production we were hoping.
Yeah,
for.
I think my concern is that they get ahead. They run the ball in the second half. They abandon the pass. Cousins doesn't have to do much. We've seen Cousins not perform well, maybe in part because they're just not throwing the football. But Cousins, to me, is still a fade, even against the Giants, man. I mean, like, I think there's better options out there, like Jacoby Brissett, who we've talked about.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but I'm not going to fade the wide receivers.
No. But wide receivers can have very good fantasy performances without their quarterbacks putting up great numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just hoping that, you know, the squeaky wheel theory comes into play with Adam Thielen after you know, he kind of voiced his frustration last week that maybe things kind of work out. Mm-hmm. At this point, you know, A.J. Green, the timeline seems to kind of keep getting pushed back. The Bengals, understandably, are in no rush to put him back on the field right now. And this team looks pretty awful. Now they've lost John Ross for an extended period of time. I mean, one, should people at this point kind of cut bait on A.J. Green? And second, is now, do we just completely bail out on anybody in this Bengals offense?
I think Mixon's still showing some positive signs. At least he's getting the volume as well. It's just a challenge. You expected so much more with Joe Mixon, and you're just not getting it right now. Tyler Boyd, I think you stay the course with him. And then if you are looking for a tight end, I mean, you know, talk about cheat codes. We have Tyler Eifert this week. And of course, so I say that, right? And CJ Uzama is going to score two touchdowns.
Probably. Exactly.
You know that's happening this week. But yeah, it's a tough situation with AJ Green. You'd hope that it was going to be a September return. Now, I mean, it's always frustrating when they don't just pup the guy. I wish they would have just pupped him. Then we would have been clear on it. I don't know, you know, if there are better options out there. I don't see why you should be holding AJ on a bench spot. If you have him in an IR spot, then just keep him there. But if you have him on a bench spot, I'm not hugely opposed to cutting him. At the same time, you also waited this long, so you might as well just see it through.
Yeah, I feel like that's sort of the point here, right? It's like you held on this long, you're sort of pot committed at this point, and you know the last thing you want to do is put him out there on the waiver wire. Somebody else snatches him up, he comes back and plays, and then you got absolutely nothing for your draft capital there. So I don't know, it's a tough spot for a lot of folks. Jeff, appreciate it as always. Where can folks find you if they are looking to get some more of your content?
Sure, absolutely. PFF.com for all the stuff over at Pro Football Focus on Instagram and Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. As well. And we have the radio show on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hey,
one of the best in the business.
Beautiful. Hey, Jeff, be good. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Jeff Ratcliffe for his time. As he mentioned, all those places you can find his work. You should go and check that out if you don't already do that. Hey, by the way, a piece of news that just came out as we sit here. Saquon Barkley was seen jogging at practice on Wednesday. I know that he said he was hoping to beat the original timeline of how long he will be out. Look, he's not going to play this week, and I don't know if he's going to play next week necessarily. But, you know, hey, look, baby steps, right?
It's all
positive. Yeah. It is all positive there. All right, a week 5 preview. Got our big questions of the week, fantasy gold mines, fantasy wastelands, and some streaming options for you. So we will start with the big questions of the week. And this is something we talked about on Monday's show, but I think it's worth bringing back as we get closer to the weekend. How exactly do we expect the Chargers to split up the backfield touches against a Bronco run game, or run defense rather, that is very, very vulnerable?
Yeah.
Now they don't have Bradley Chubb either coming off the edge.
Yeah.
He's gone for the season with an ACL tear. So the Chargers should be able to run the football. The question is, how do they break this up now that Melvin Gordon's back?
I would think both are startable this week. I don't think that's a shock to people,
right?
Because of what Eckler's done and Gordon's track record. So I feel like you start both of them. I think you could end up seeing maybe a 50-50 split this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe 55-45. We'll see what happens. But at some point, whether it's, you know, week 5 or week 6 or week 7 moving forward, Gordon's going to end up taking that job back and being the guy who's going to average 18 to 20 touches a game, and Eckler will be the guy who's going to average, you know, 10 to 12 touches a game.
Right.
It's worked in the past for them. And so I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work for them now. I get it. Eckler was really good, but Melvin Gordon's the guy there. And I've said this on the air. I've said it on the podcast that right now, you know, the situation with the Chargers and Melvin Gordon hadn't really changed.
Right.
Because he held out wanting more money. What was offered, he didn't like. The Chargers are not going to offer him more money. What will happen in 2020? Is he going to be a free agent, or are they going to franchise him? What's going to happen? The bottom line here is, though, that the Chargers are probably going to get every single bit that they can get out of Melvin Gordon in terms of touches from week 5 on, and then 2020, we see what happens. It's sort of a similar situation to what the Steelers did with Le'Veon Bell,
right,
when he had 400 some odd touches. They just ran him into the ground. And I feel like the Chargers are going to really utilize Melvin Gordon to the best of his abilities and give him a lot of opportunities from here on over.
Yeah, that's sort of what I expect, too. And I think, you know, certainly for this week, I'm with you that I think it's going to be closer to a 50-50 split. Just, you know, look, I know Melvin Gordon's been working out. I'm sure he's been staying in shape, but it is different to be in game shape and you know, mm-hmm. to kind of handle the rigors of a 60-minute football game. So I would think that he may not have the same workload this week that we'll see going forward. So I think both those guys are very
important. And as you mentioned, I mean, this is a defense that gave up the RB7 in week one. Josh Jacobs had a big game last week. Leonard Fournette ran for all the yards. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so it's a good spot. It's a good spot for both these backs.
Yeah, last nine games going back to the end of last season, the Broncos have allowed either 80 rushing yards and or a touchdown on the ground. So there are fantasy points to be had with this group. The Niners are back after a bye. There was some buzz that maybe Tevin Coleman could be back, although he was not seen at practice on Monday with the club. But look, there are guys in play, right? That means we still have to deal with with Matt Breida. There's still Raheem Mostert. There's still Jeff Wilson potentially. Which, if any, do you trust against the Browns this week?
I mean, Breida would probably be the guy, but start him and sit him is out if you want to go check it out. But I have Breida as a sit. The Browns are giving up fewer than 4 yards per rush to running backs. And, I mean, anytime the Niners get inside the red or green zone, they're giving the ball to Jeff Wilson.
Yep.
And Mostert's playing on third downs. Like, this is a three-headed backfield committee that when the matchup is right, okay, yeah, I mean, you know, I'll roll the dice. The matchup isn't great this week. So if I could fade Breida, I mean, I'm in a lot of two flex leagues and I'm kind of stuck. I may have to play him. I don't have to like it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the big thing, right? This is where we are with the 49ers backs. Like, you kind of have to play them because they all have scoring potential, but you don't have to be...
But the matchup just isn't... on paper, is not good this week.
Not at all. Okay, so I talked a little bit about Jay Gruden's situation and the quarterback deal in Washington there. Will any of those Washington players outscore the Patriots defense in fantasy?
No. No, the Patriots are, I mean, they're the Patrick Mahomes of fantasy defenses.
They are,
I mean,
right,
they're
now.
Just ridiculous. I mean, we don't know what's going on with McLaurin. And even if he does play, have fun with Stephon Gilmore.
Right.
Because that is maybe the hardest matchup for any wide receiver in the league at this point. Richardson was a disappointment last week. Vernon Davis hasn't done much of anything. Adrian Peterson, Chris Thompson. I mean, he'll get you your 10 PPR points, but he's not exciting. I mean, I think you're right. And the Patriots defense is probably going to outscore all the Redskins this week.
Their quote unquote bad week this season was week one when they got you 10 points. That was their bad week this year. Their second quote unquote bad week was 14 points. That was against the
Jets. If you're getting 10 to 14 points from your defense every
week,
you are smiling. And they're giving you, they gave you a 37 and they gave you a 23 or 24 last week.
Loving life.
Yeah.
That was the case.
Yep.
Man. Okay. So onto our fantasy gold mines this week. The first one that jumped off the page to me, the Cardinals going to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, mostly because these defenses aren't very good.
Yep.
I know we talked about the Bengals offense being bad, but if there's ever a chance for them to sort of, I guess, kind of get right in some ways, it's probably against this Arizona defense.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray, after a decent first week, has really, he's kind of tailed off a little bit.
He's given you like 16 to 17. It's not been great.
Right. A lot
in
of
this day and age.
A lot of it is because he's just not, they're not throwing the ball downfield a whole lot.
Yep.
A whole lot of short throws out of this offense.
But I feel like this could be a week where he gets you,
right,
18, 19, 20 points because just, Bengals. And Tyler Boyd, Cynthia Freeland was right on about him. I liked him a lot last week, and he did not put up a good line. I think a lot of people did against the Steelers. But, after 4 weeks, Arizona's defense giving up 4 touchdowns and the third most fantasy points to slot receivers. So Boyd should bounce back. Larry Fitzgerald is a good bounce back player this week, too, against the Bengals. They've given up 3 touchdowns to slot receivers, and 2 wide receivers have finished in the top 13 against them over the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And Christian Kirk is a little bit banged up in that game, too. So we'll see if he's out there, and if he is he 100%? So I think there's some fantasy points to be had in this game, despite the fact that neither one of these teams are, let's just say, the sexiest in the league.
Not really. And as Jeff Ratcliffe mentioned, I mean, on paper, this seems to be a Tyler Eifert game, which of course means
you would think. I mean, that's exactly because the fantasy gods are cruel. I will say this. Last week, I was listening to SiriusXM, Bob Harris. I always listen to Bob. And I don't remember who it was, but it said, boy, this Will Disley play, it's too obvious. It's never going to happen. And so then he went nuts. And I'm like, all right, do we move that now to Eifert? Is it too obvious? Is it never going to happen? Well, I mean, we'll see. But that's the thing.
Right.
you know, CJ Uzama could come in there and snake a couple of red zone opportunities, and then, you know, Eifert's a bust. News on Michael Gallup, Jason Garrett says he's going to practice today.
Oh, that's good.
That's good news.
I will say one last thing on Tyler Eifert. I actually kind of liked him potentially against the Steelers last week, and I will say that he got end zone targets.
Yeah,
he just couldn't catch any of them. They weren't necessarily great throws.
They weren't good targets.
Yeah. Right, but I see you working, Andy Dalton. I appreciate the effort.
Yep.
Next time, we just need to execute a little bit better.
Yeah.
Atlanta at Houston. I said on Fantasy Live earlier in the week, target the Falcons' defense.
Yes.
That's one thing we have certainly learned, which I think is encouraging if you have Deshaun Watson, if you have DeAndre Hopkins, who have not been great the last few weeks. So it is encouraging there. On the flip side, that Houston defense has given up some points. So if you're looking for a Matt Ryan bounce, I know Matt Ryan had like 350 yards.
Yeah, but he didn't have any touchdowns. Yeah.
I had a fantasy team last week where I did not have a touchdown. No one in my lineup scored. No one in my lineup scored a touchdown.
Suffice to say, you didn't win that.
Blown out.
Oh, my God. No touchdowns?
Matt Ryan was my quarterback. My running backs were Kerryon Johnson and Marlon Mack. My wide receivers were DeAndre Hopkins and Juju. My tight end was Evan Ingram.
I tell you, that team going into the season
looked great.
Looked really good.
My flex was MVS, so I had zero touchdowns, and I got blown out.
Speaking of this game, though, Calvin Ridley has given you two absolute stink bombs in a row after two good games. And I would tell people to stick with him, you know, this week, because in Houston's first four games, their defense has given up the third most fantasy points to receivers lined out wide, which is where Ridley is running 85.3% of his routes. Obviously, Julio Jones is active. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But if you're in a league where you have to flex two players, or maybe you're thin at wide receiver and Calvin Ridley and his 7.8 points in the last 2 weeks is looking at you and you're thinking sideways at him, I'd actually give him an opportunity to go out there in what could be a high-scoring game.
Mohamed Sanu has
has
reemerged
and
into
Austin
our lives.
Hooper. Oh,
Austin
my
Hooper,
gosh.
Austin Hooper, man.
Hooper!
I know I was sort of iffy on him, and I wasn't sure. I didn't buy all the way in, and maybe I should have. Maybe I should have bought in all.
And, well, last week, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, well, Ryan threw the ball a lot, but, he targeted Freeman a lot. He targeted Hooper a lot, and Ridley and Jones didn't do much of anything, so they obviously didn't stretch the ball in the offensive side of the ball with any sort of success, and hopefully that's going to change this week.
Yeah, we will see about that. The other game that is a goldmine just easily there, Colts at Chiefs.
You would think so.
Going to Kansas City, and look, I know that the Chiefs offense, you know, they were kind of held in check by the Lions last week. I don't expect that to happen 2 weeks in a row. On the flip side, Jacoby Brissett is off to a great start. 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's the QB9 right now. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that T.Y. Hilton is back this week. I know that Marlon Mack said he should be good to go as well. So in theory, this Colts offense is going to be fully intact going to Kansas City. They will need all those pieces if they want to stay in this thing with the Chiefs. But this is one fab I think there should be a lot of fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, so this, and again, you know, hopefully the fantasy gods, you know, smile upon us, because the fantasy community is basically all getting on that Brissett bandwagon. Mm-hmm. The only quarterback in the league to throw multiple touchdown passes in every single game, 20-plus points in 2 straight games. Great matchup. And a game where you would think game script would mean throwing the football in the second half to try and erase a deficit on the Colts side of the football. And one guy, the Colts... keep tabs on Marlon Mack. I think he's going to be fine. Good matchup. The Chiefs are giving it up to running backs this year. But one guy... You want to talk about living on the edge with a player. Eric Ebron will drive you nuts at the same time as you will cheer him. Last week, he was awful. And then he had that long touchdown catch, and he saved your bacon. And this week, Kansas City's giving up 8 catches a game to tight ends.
Yep.
8.
Yep.
And if T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, which we won't know. This is the Sunday night game. I mean, Ebron's a guy that you could stream. Because what the hell else is out there?
Right. I mean, so, but the question becomes him or Jack Doyle?
Yeah, I know. Ebron gets into the end zone more often. I would say it's Ebron, but yeah, you flip a coin.
You do flip a coin there. Fantasy Wastelands, the first one we sort of talked about. Buffalo at Tennessee. There's just nothing to, like, I mean, I guess either one of the defenses, you know, if you have or you stream, that's about it. But any of the offensive skill position players, there's nothing.
The Titans defense for sure. The Bills defense, though, Mariota has not been turning the ball over. He's not.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big part of it. You know, maybe a couple of sacks here or there, but I don't know if the Bills are a great play this week. And yeah, we mentioned there's not a whole lot to like. You know, Jacksonville, Carolina, we just saw a report that Gardner Minshew's, you know, dealing with that knee, a little bit banged up, and Josh Dobbs could get some first.
I was just about to look. I'm like, who is behind?
Well,
They made the trade, yeah, after Nick Foles got hurt.
Yep.
Yeah, Jacksonville, Carolina, I mean, look, because we know that the Jaguars, even without Jalen Ramsey, who is still dealing with some injury issues,
or something,
they're gonna get after Kyle Allen. And look, for as good as he looked that first week as a starter, the second week was not great.
Yep,
not great. So I think that's gonna be a tough one, which makes it difficult to start really any Panthers not named Christian McCaffrey. He's gonna get his. He'll figure out a way to get touches there. But you know, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Greg Olsen. All those guys become really tough starts there.
Yeah.
Chicago, I say Chicago at Oakland. It's a game played in London.
Yeah, but it's a home game.
It is a home game for the Raiders. It's being played in London. First off, it is the Khalil Mack revenge.
Yeah, I know, right?
Game, right?
How many sacks is he going to have?
All of them?
Yes.
I think it was Robert Mays, who writes for The Ringer on Twitter, made the point, like, can you imagine Khalil Mack being even more motivated to be a house record than he's already been so far this season.
I know, yeah. How many times does he want to look over at John Gruden when Derek Carr is sprawled out on the ground beneath his legs? Yeah. Like, hey, John, yeah, you traded me, pal. How's that going for you?
The other thing that that we're missing out on, it's also the Eddie Pinheiro revenge.
Yes, Eddie Pinheiro.
we have a kicker revenge game in play, folks.
Love it, man.
Eddie Pinheiro, with who was a Raider for a brief time last year. Look, the Raiders are going to have a really hard time moving the football against this Bears defense.
Are there any Raiders not named Darren Waller that you would start?
No.
Right?
I mean, I guess
Jacobs, I mean, maybe you have to flex him, but you don't have to like it.
I might be able to. No, I was like, can I talk my way into Tyrell Williams? Like, maybe. But that really is a home run play. Like, you're hoping that
he's got a touchdown in every game. But his yardage totals besides week one have not been good.
Not great.
I'd be fading him. And I think he's a little banged up as well.
So, yeah, it's tough to make any Raiders plays. I mean, I guess you can sort of talk about some of the Bears. You know, maybe this is the week that David Montgomery finally gets going.
I'm gonna
go down with this ship. I just know that I have
I liked him coming into the year too, man. I mean, just not getting the job done. Like, he's a risk reward flex starter. I mean, let's put it that way. And also keep in mind, the Raiders defense this year has held Philip Lindsay, Damian Williams before he got hurt, LeSean McCoy, and Marlon Mack to fewer than 44 rushing yards. Each one of those guys. So the Raiders haven't been just garbage against the run. They actually haven't been that bad.
Right.
So
they have been pretty bad against quarterbacks, but I'm not starting Chase Daniel.
No. You can't talk me into that one.
There's no way.
Although, I mean, like, you know, two QB super flex, you know, maybe you take a chance on him. But
so I guess, you know, you got Allen Robinson potentially.
Yeah.
You know,
not touching Burton. I mean, he's not getting any red zone opportunities.
I was going to say, can I start? I'm like, no.
No, you can't. You can't do it.
No, I can't. Yep. So I don't expect a ton of fantasy points from this. Plus, like, just the London games generally have been mediocre for fantasy. They haven't been terrible. They haven't really been great, you know. I mean, I still claim that there's probably some little kid in London who thinks Mercedes Lewis is the greatest tight end
exactly.
of all time.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, he doesn't understand the big deal with this Gronk character because Mercedes Lewis had three touchdowns in a game for the Jaguars.
And you know what? When the NFL, you know, releases the schedule, right? I mean, like, this looked like it could have been a fun matchup. You know, Antonio Brown, you know, on the Oakland Raiders, maybe, you know, like, that could be a little bit of fun. And the Bears have an up-and-coming team. And now this is one of those games where, like, if you're a fan in London, you're thinking, maybe should have just stayed home.
You know, I'll say this. The good news is, at least they're playing it. It's 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. East Coast time. Because, you know, before they were trying that 6 a.m. window, which I know they did that with the Rams. I'm like, that sort of stinks that for West Coast fans, you got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch your team play.
Yep.
That's not great. So at least this time it is it's in one of the more traditional NFL windows.
Yep.
Streaming options at quarterback. Jacoby Brissett is the first one that comes to mind. I know he's actually out there in a lot of leagues because, you know, a lot of teams I know don't roster multiple quarterbacks unless you have to. So Jacoby Brissett's out there to take on the Chiefs. Kyler Murray, we talked about him, you know, not being great, but this is a chance for him to maybe step up and play well. I put Chase Daniel with a question mark just because Raiders, but I think you got to really be sort of hurting to get down that far with Chase Daniel. I don't know. Do we think Andy Dalton?
The matchup's there, bro. I mean, I have him right now. I mean, things could change, but I have him in my top 20. I think he's like 19 or 20 at quarterback. So, you know, I get it. Like, we always think back to the most recent performance.
Right.
How awful it was. And it was really bad. But this is a home game against the Cardinals. So you got to kind of put
prime
that to,
time.
I'm not telling you to play him over, you know, some of the big name guys. Brissett is a much better option. Kyler's a much better option. But I mean, there's people out there, you know, who had Drew Brees, who had Ben Roethlisberger. They're looking at, you know, Teddy Bridgewater and made it Mason Rudolph. And, well, I don't want to start either one of these guys. So, you know, Andy Dalton could be one of those options for those in dire straits.
Tight end Tyler Eifert. We have mentioned ad nauseum.
Yep.
I put Jack Doyle, but it can go Jack Doyle slash Eric Ebron.
Exactly.
Kind of pick and choose that one. I have Jimmy Graham on this list.
No, but I think so. It's smart because at this point, it doesn't seem like Devontae Adams is
going to
play.
I don't think he's going to play.
So when Adams was out of the game last week, Graham was a popular target for Aaron Rodgers. Now he dropped a bunch of passes. But that's all we're looking for right now at tight end is opportunity. And I think Graham was probably one of, if not the most added tight end on NFL.com.
He was.
So I feel like that thought process is sort of flowing through the industry where people are thinking, well, I mean, it's not like he's great. Imagine this is Jimmy Graham we're talking about. But the opportunities could be there. The red zone opportunities could be there. And I think that's why people are sort of rolling the dice with him.
Yeah, I think you know, look, you talk about recency bias. I mean, I think part of the reason I'm hesitant is I woke up this morning, I'm scrolling Twitter, I see a tweet where it's an interview with Brian Gutekunst, the Packers GM, and basically the gist of it was that he feels like a couple of his big mistakes as GM were, one, signing Jimmy Graham and then bringing him back for a second year. You know, and I know that there are corners of fantasy Twitter that are pounding the table for Robert Tonyan to start getting snaps and targets. You know, so that it is. I think it's just me reading something this morning that has me a little bit spooked. That's all.
Yeah.
Streaming defenses. I didn't put the Titans down here, but the Titans.
Titans are a good one.
Especially if Matt Barkley is going to start, which is what it looks like right now. So the Titans are one.
Eagles.
The Eagles definitely won against the New York Jetropolitans. I know Sam Darnold is back. He's running. He can't lift, right? Like, he can't actually lift weights. He can kind of run. I think he started to throw a little bit, but I'm like,
I wonder if he's lost a lot of weight.
He says he hasn't. Now, because he said, like, the whole time he was quarantined in his apartment, that basically he was just housing junk food. So, he didn't lose any weight.
I remember when I had mono, I dropped a ton of weight.
Yeah, so apparently he hasn't done any weight, lost any weight, rather. He did have an interesting quote earlier in the week that says, you know, my spleen is going to do what it's going to do. And I'm like, same, bro.
Dude, yeah, I know, but one thing that you don't want it to do is explode when you get hit by a defensive end.
So, you know, he's back working with the team. It doesn't sound like he's going to play this week, so it's at least one more week of Luke Falk at the quarterback
spot. That is good news for those of you who were able to pick up the Eagles' defense. But I will say this, you know, Crowder got dropped in a lot of leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Darnold's going to be back. You know, sooner rather than later.
This is the time to stash James.
Yeah, and say Chris Herndon, too. Chris Herndon is a guy that if you're hurting at tight end, and a lot of us are.
He'll be back next week.
Stash him, man.
He'll be back in week six.
You can pick him up and play him.
So four-game suspension. They had the bye last week, so he'll be back in week six.
So when
six.
He's back, he's a guy you can add and play.
There you go. Let's see. The Texans defense, like, I know that the Falcons have been throwing the ball and they've been playing from behind, but, man, their offensive line gives up sacks.
Yep.
Matt Ryan is always under pressure. And
they've eight giveaways, I think, this year.
Something like that.
Atlanta.
I think Matt Ryan has, what, six or seven interceptions?
Yeah.
Which is, he is either he has either matched or is close to matching
what
his
he had
total
all
from last year.
Yep, yeah, exactly.
So there's a chance for the Texans defense to kind of make some hay. I put the Niners down.
I like that
though,
one.
Even though the Browns looked good last week, they still have offensive line issues. The Niners pass rush has been pretty good. And look, they're shutting down running backs through their first three games.
Yeah.
Giving up about 13 points to running backs so far this season. So the Niners, you know, maybe a sneaky streaming.
I like that, man. That was one of the defenses that if I couldn't get like Tennessee or if I couldn't get Philly, I was going after the Niners.
Yeah. So that's one to kind of to keep in your back pocket there. So I don't know. Is that it? Did we miss anything? I feel like we kind of.
I don't know, man. Any news breaking, anything like that? I mean, anything else to discuss?
I've seen nothing new. Also, you know, as we sit here and record this at currently 8:58 in the morning Pacific time, TweetDeck's still not working. Figure it out.
Yeah. Darnold going through practice and keeps increasing his cardio, but as you said, unlikely to be in there this week. So
yeah. I also am trying to increase my cardio. So.
It's hard when you're like working 12-hour days and you just go home and then you have to deal with the kid and you know the significant other and then you just want to go to sleep.
Me and Sam Darnold, man, we have a lot more in common than I guess I realize. So
yeah,
there you go. All right, that's it. We are done. We appreciate you listening and downloading as always. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, common sense is like deodorant. The people who need it most never use it. See you on Monday.